I'm very grateful to have come to know your pastor, Dr. Raymond Franklin. It was not quite 7 years ago we met, and not quite 7 years ago, this coming November will be 7 years, we began to worship together. It has been a wonderful time. I'm sort of sad today because this is one opportunity that we may not have together again for a long time, and that is to be together. I'm hoping we'll have some times together like this. I'm hoping we get invited for the dedication of the building. I think it gives the devil unbelievable consternation. And I almost said something that rhymed with that. It gets uptight, too. When in a world where there's so much strife and division and race and nation and culture divides folks, to see folks coming together and praising God, I believe that the greatest foretaste of heaven is when people come together at the foot of a cross and worship the living and true God. That's my only hope for the future, till Jesus comes. That's when nations beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. It's at the foot of a cross. But one day, that's going to happen literally. It won't happen at the United Nations. It'll happen when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, descends to this earth with the trumpet sound. Then and only then will this poor planet see true peace, true harmony, true unity, where there be no more death or tears or sighing or parting. That's the day I look forward to. But until then, I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles as I would lead you in some thoughts about the gift you need to give your pastor. And I'm not talking about a gift certificate at Best Buy. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I happen to be using a Bible that's got the same numbers as the ones in the pew. And if you like to look, I'm going to read at page 1214. And that's Luke 22, verse 33. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. And he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and that he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. So they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. And his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. May we pray. Now, Lord, I want to honor you by honoring the ordinance of the gospel ministry. So, Lord, as I honor a man, I really want to honor you, Lord. I love this man. I respect this man. But in honoring him, I don't want to take any honor from you, because, Lord, you are the giver of the gifts to the church. And you gave, first of all, pastors and teachers after the apostles and prophets. So, Lord, help me to speak this afternoon briefly to the point, to the stirring of the heart, that this congregation will continue to give to this pastor what he needs. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture with me for a few minutes, because I'm going to tell you the number one thing that you can give your pastor is to pray for him. That's number one. Number one, pray for your pastor. Now, I want you to look here as a pastor in this section of Scripture. Simon, that's Simon Peter. Simon Peter was a man who was a man's man. He was a working man. He earned his living by the sweat of his brow. Had you shaken his hand, you would have felt a man with calluses and deep cuts, scars, because over the years, as he had mended his fishing nets and cast his fishing nets and caught the fish and sometimes cut the fish, I guarantee you he was a man whose hands bled many times. He was a tough man of the sea. He was impulsive. He was loyal. And it's this loyal man that we look at today, Simon Peter. He's boastful. Look at verse 33. Even after Jesus warned him, look at what Peter says. Luke 22:33. But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." He was a loyal man. He's the kind of friend you want. He's the kind of man that'll cover your back. He's the kind of guy you want to have with you in a lonely place, in a dangerous place. He's somebody you can trust. Trouble with Peter is he didn't know himself. He had never come to grips with the basic truth that there is a point in the life of every man and every woman when, being tempted, he will fail. Everyone has his price, except for one, and it isn't the pastor. It isn't Peter. It's the Lord Jesus. "I'm ready," he says, "to go with you both to prison and to death." And that's something. Prison has never been a good place to go. Never did anybody good. They call it a penitentiary because they think, well, that's a place where people will begin to be penitent. But everything I've ever seen inside and outside of prison, because I've visited prisons not only here but other places, makes people hard, mean, hurts them, tears them down, never did anybody any good. Peter knew a little bit about prison, but he says, I'll go to prison. I got your back. You don't have to worry. I'll go with you. I'll take the sentence for you. I'm ready to die. Now, I want you to see that this man that was ready to die for Jesus, before this night is over, before the rooster crowed in the morning, this man, what, so much of a sissy that a little girl said to him, "Well, I think you were one of his disciples." "Not me. Oh, no, not me." See, every man has his price. Every woman has her price. Everyone has a point at which he or she will break. We like to think, well, I'm not that kind of person. Peter wanted to think, I'm not that kind of man. But now I want you to notice something. "Simon, Simon," he said, verse 31, "Satan has asked for you that may sift you as wheat." Let me tell you, you get in the wheat sifter, you're going to be in trouble. And I'll say this about pastors, as a pastor. I've been preaching since 1965. The sifter is there for pastors. The sifter is there. Sometimes it comes in the form of a woman. Sometimes it's green. That green doesn't have any kind of perfume on it, but the smell sure is good. Sometimes it's pride. I think that's what Peter had. I think he was full of pride. He was self-confident. We win. Satan has asked you that he may sift you as wheat. I want you to notice something because it's a great comfort to me as a preacher. The devil has to get permission to sift you. I'm not in a world where the devil can just do whatever he wants to with me. I'm in a world where he has to get permission. Now I want you to see something else. That sifting is the devil's work. God doesn't sift us. The devil sifts us. And he can do some stuff. I want you to see something else. Verse 32. If the Christian life is the imitation of Christ, then the greatest thing that a congregation can do as imitators of Christ is to pray. There's a point in time in all of this where Peter is outside the reach of Christ. Christ is on trial. Christ is being mocked. Christ is having people spit in his face. Christ is having people slap him open-handed and with a closed fist smack him. Christ is having people grab him by the whiskers and jerk out clumps here and there and grab him by the hair and cluster it, pull it out. He's being called everything but a child of God. Peter's somewhere else. Christ physically is here. But there's one thing that Christ could do for Peter. And there's one thing you can do for your pastor, even when you're on the toilet. And you can't reach that cell phone. You hear it ringing out there. Don't take it in the bathroom. You drop it in that toilet, they won't honor it. You know. There's one thing you can do for your pastor. Whether you're in a sick bed, on vacation, whether you're in a P-roll, fishing, there's something you can do for your pastor. Anywhere, anytime, you can pray for him. Christ was not physically present with Peter when Peter was on trial. But Christ said, I prayed for you. I prayed for you. If it wasn't for Jesus praying for me, where would I be? My great encouragement to pray for other people is that Christ is praying for me. He's an interceder. Notice what he prays for. Brand new car. Alligator skin seats in that car. I don't know why anybody would want alligator skin for a seat. That's some rough leather, you know. What's he praying for Peter? He isn't even praying for success in his ministry. He's praying for him that his faith won't fail. Verse 32. You ever think about pastors' faith failing? Can you imagine a pastor whose faith fails? Well, I've known some pastors whose faith have failed. I want to say that when the enemy, when the devil starts coming after you, when he starts chewing on you and clawing on you and kicking on you and hitting on you and beating you about the head and shoulders, when it seems like one thing just comes after another, after another, after another, wave after wave after wave, you begin to get discouraged. I want you to know preachers can get discouraged too. I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Pray for your pastor that his faith won't fail. Because I'm going to tell you what, he has a target on the back of that nice white suit. It's easier to spot the bullseye on his suit than most of your suits. Because his has a good contrast. Oh, yeah, the devil's, I see that. That's Raymond Franklin. I see that. Oh, yeah, look at that. Man, there's the bullseye. I'm going for it. Do you know he's in the target of the devil? Pray for his precious wife. Pray for their precious daughter. Pray for them. As I'll tell you this, the old man may have some skills at fighting the devil because he's fought him for some years. But little Raquel is just a little girl still. And there's a whole world of things out there that the devil can throw at her. Pray for her. Pray for her. Lift her up in prayer. She needs to be prayed for. She's a preacher's daughter. My mama was a preacher's daughter. I heard her say this more than once, and after my mama died, I heard her sister, my Aunt Ruth, who died in 2010 when she was in her mid-90s. She said, I used to hear people say to me, why are you doing that? You're a preacher's daughter. And it's just preacher's daughter. Like you know, preacher's daughter is like some kind of terrible insult. Like, oh, my goodness, preacher's daughter. Oh, do people think I'm a preacher's daughter? Oh, my. Pray for Raquel. Pray. Discouragement. You know, a man of integrity may be able to resist a beautiful, seductive woman sent by Satan to bring him down. A faithful man may be able to resist money temptations, alcohol temptations, drug temptations. Faithful man may be able to resist all kinds of things, but discouragement. Boy, discouragement. Discouragement just empties a man's soul out. And when a man has financial trouble, when he and his wife begin to squabble and they're not seeing eye to eye, when they're worried about a child, when the conflicts in the church and factions and divisions, and then things out in the world not going well, it's very easy to say, I'm tired of this. You remember what Peter said, even after the Lord rose from the dead, said, I'm going fishing. I had enough of this. Now, I know he rose from the dead, but I've had enough of this. I'm going fishing again. Anybody want to join me? I don't think they had trout in the Sea of Galilee, but something was biting. He said, I'm going fishing. Lord went after him, you know. Notice what else. I prayed for thee that thy faith not fail. And when you return to me, when you're turned around, when you're restored, strengthen your brethren. Let me tell you, pastor will fail. I don't care how good a man he is. I don't care how faithful he is. I don't care how long he's followed the Lord. Sooner or later, there's going to be failure. It may not be with a woman. I've had pastor friends who fell into that area seriously. I had a pastor friend whose own grown son confronted him in a local motel. Very grievous. My goodness, I'd hate that to be my boy coming after me. Oh, man may resist all of that. But sooner or later, your pastor's going to let you down. He's not going to be praying the way he ought to be praying or preaching the way he ought to be preaching. Something will happen. You know, a preacher can sometimes this didn't happen with a hammer. It happened on a train, actually, if you see that bruise spot. He can sometimes hit his thumb with a hammer and say something he shouldn't say. Oh, you're not going to believe what I heard today. What you mean? Yeah, well, I was with the pastor. And we were on this little building project, you know, getting things set up with the shelves and this study. And he was hammering away and he missed and he hit his thumb. And my goodness, I hadn't heard anybody talk like that since I was in the Navy. What do you do when your preacher lets you down? What do? You just keep praying for him. Keep loving him. Keep loving him. And notice this, when you've returned to me, can a preacher wander away for a little while? Well, you know, I don't believe anybody can lose salvation. I want to say that. I believe once saved, always saved. If you're saved, got to be really saved now. Don't just shake that preacher's hand, but really saved, I don't believe you can lose it. You wander away, but you can't lose it. Peter wandered away for a while. And when you brought back, look at what he says, get back into ministry. Strengthen your brethren. Wow. Strengthen your brethren. I want to tell you this. When somebody has gone in the sifter and the devil has been sifting and shaking and tearing them apart and they come back to the Lord, they come back a more effective servant of Christ. I want to tell you that the man, Peter, this bold, loyal, impulsive, decisive, vigorous follower of Christ, was a far more effective follower of Christ after falling away for a season, being restored, getting filled with the Holy Ghost on Pentecost Sunday, he was a man after that who was fearless for one reason. He lost his self-confidence, and he found his Christ confidence. And that's what you all need to pray for your pastor. Pray for him. Every day, pray for this man. Pray for him. Lord, help Pastor Raymond, Dr. Franklin, help him keep his eyes on Jesus, to trust in you, to depend on you, not to depend on his flesh. That's what got Peter into trouble. He depended on his flesh. Lord didn't say, use that sword. He said, just have the sword. They'll see it and they'll leave you alone. He had to pull it out and show, well, I can handle a sword just like I can handle a fishing net. He needed to be submissive to the Lord. Pray for your pastor to have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, 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 pray. Because great days are ahead for Shiloh. This is a wonderful year for Shiloh. It is the beginning of the first of the greatest years of the history of this church. You're boldly going to a new adventure. And your pastor needs strength that he doesn't have, that you don't want him to have, because he doesn't need self-strength. He needs the strength of the Holy Spirit. Pray for him. God bless you.